Always do those in Sports Talk Radio in San Antonio, and I was hosting Peter Burns, Katie George. We'd have like somebody famous give a read, and then through a time, they kind of just ran out of way. Like, people didn't do it any longer. But when you get Ric Flair doing it, it hits a little bit different. This is the Dan Le Batard Show. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Kenny the Jet Smith's going to be joining us here momentarily there. But remember, today on ESPN Daily, chess grandmasters train just like other elite athletes. Top players work out several hours a day to prepare for their matches that go on forever. Kind of a crazy story, and only the ones that ESPN Daily does, they do it extremely well. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Katie George, now it's time for your SportsCenter update. Let's roll.
Well, the Milwaukee Bucks and Sacramento Kings shut down their practice facilities after receiving the results of a recent round of testing for the coronavirus. Kevin Harvick won the Brickyard 400. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know: your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. Peter Burns here on the Dan Le Batard Show. And every morning I wake up, I try to figure out, as soon as I wake up, I'll check Twitter to see, A, if we're still alive, and then B, how do we feel about sports? And it feels like the NBA has been kind of a roller coaster ride. Joining us right now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, the Jet. That's right, Kenny the Jet Smith, co-star of Turner Sports Inside the NBA. And Kenny, I find this interesting because I see so many people in our neighborhood, they're doing this online and kind of these Zoom education things and stuff like that. But you guys are taking it in a different direction, too, with the Jet Academy. Tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing with some of the NBA and WNBA stars.
Well, you know, hey, thanks for having me. But also, you know, doing COVID and social distancing, you know, I have a basketball camp that was canceled, and then I have, you know, my kids' camps, all they were canceled, my children's camp. I was just, you know, around the world, we're just seeing it. So I was like, watch it, everyone, development stop because of social distancing. Watch it stop. And so I just created the first virtual basketball camp, virtual basketball academy, where you sign up, works on any device, any cell. All you need is a cell service and a Wi-Fi, any device, and for 2 hours, you know, Trae Young, Kemba Walker, Victor Oladipo, all NBA All-Stars, Breonna Stewart, League MVP in the WNBA, Brittany Griner. We're your personal trainers for 2 hours. But the difference, it's live. So our kids kind of consume information live. So you get to ask questions live. You get to upload videos live. And it's a different process, and the differentiator. And again, it's jetacademycamp.com. Sign up for an hour and a half, and you get a nice workout.
So, Kenny, there's going to be instructional videos, coach talks, different Q&As. When you posed the question to Kemba Walker, Trae Young, Brittany Griner, what were their thoughts on this virtual camp? How did they take it?
Well, they loved it because all of them have camps already that they had to cancel. So they were like, we have to cancel our camps. This is great. But then I told them, I'm like, yeah, but typically you only get people in Boston or Pickle in your city or Charlotte, wherever you're playing, or Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Now you got the world. Like, everyone's available. Everyone has access to it. And, you know, it's funny because Kemba was asking, he's like, well, what are we going to do? I was like, we want to do your drills. We want you to uncover those. Like, what would you do to work out? I said, you know, the step back move that you get everybody to fall, you got to show it. He started laughing. He's like, yeah, no problem. I said, but you got to tell us when and why you do it. He's like, okay, Kenny, I'm doing it. But if Patrick Beverly signs on, I'm hanging up. I'm going to leave this stuff. Like, awesome. I'm not giving him that secret.
I love it. Kenny Jet Smith joining us here, the Dan Le Batard Show, Peter Burns and Katie George. Kenny, when you look at this, obviously we're just all antsy. We want some basketball in our life. If I put Kenny the Jet Smith, NBA legend, in 2020, you're still young, you're suiting up, you're ready to go. How comfortable are you feeling about what's going on in Orlando?
Well, it depends on how old I am. I'm 21, 22, 23. I'm like, let's go hoop, because I had no responsibilities. You know, I lived alone. No kids, you know, my mom and dad lived in New York. I played in Sacramento. My only responsibility was to me at that time, you know, safety. But, you know, 30-year-old Kenny, kids, you know, family, my mom and dad moves closer to, you know, they come in to visit. I might have different trepidations and different concerns that I would have had, you know, being younger Kenny, so to speak.
Kenny, J.J. Redick earlier this week in a conference call with media, he said there's absolutely no comfort level going down to the bubble. Is that the general consensus from players in the league that you've spoken with, or do other guys feel more confident and have more trust in the league and what they've set up in Orlando?
I think that everyone should be on the side of caution, like everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a person that shouldn't be. This is the most active virus we've known, and deadly in our lifetime. So you should have a concern, for sure.
Kenny, when you look at this and you guys start going through and you're getting ready to get back in and start covering these games, let's take coronavirus out of it, right? And it's hard to at this point, but you're just talking about the questions you have for basketball. And what are they? Is it as simple of Dwight Howard and what the Lakers are going to do as far as now defensively and also getting J.R. Smith on this? But what are the basketball questions that you can't wait to see actually get answered in Orlando?
Well, you've had 3 to 4 months off, it's a new season. So for me, you think about the improvement that certain players make from 1 year to the next. You're going to see that in Orlando, which is going to be different. You're like, that's not the same Ja Morant, possibly. That's not Luka, the same Luka. Like, these guys are having an opportunity to assess the league and mature and get experience. And now they're coming back. To me, this just feels like we're starting a new league.
Do you feel like players who have said that they're worried about gearing up as quickly as possible, the 8 games for the remaining portion of the regular season, are so important that injury is something that is weighing on a lot of guys' minds?
I mean, of course, I would feel that way. I would feel that way more if I was, you know, a guy who had just been hurt and was just coming back when before the pandemic. Like, if I had just come back from whatever injury, and then the pandemic hits, then for 3 to 4 months, I wouldn't have had access to the training facilities to continue my treatment to continue to improve. Mm-hmm. So then I would be a little concerned about just dropped in now, because I really, not saying I'd be hurt, but I just wouldn't have the, you know, so I would be concerned if I was that type of guy. But anyone else, like, I would be like, if I was LeBron, I'd be like, woof, what did I need this? You know, I'm glad that we're all healthy. You know, but I did need this rest. You know, from a basketball standpoint, we're not talking about COVID-19 and the results of people dying, but we're talking about in rest for my profession. Oh, I needed that.
You mentioned LeBron. Who do you think benefits the most? Which team do you think comes back better, stronger, having had so many months off?
Young teams. Mm-hmm. I think young teams. Again, Milwaukee's. You think Giannis coming back for his next season, he'll be better. You think of Denver, you think of Boston, you think of Dallas, Porzingis and now Luka coming back together, better. So I would say younger teams to me, because older veterans kind of train one way to get ready for the long haul of the city season, where young guys a lot of times, they're like, oh, I'm coming in day one and I could score 50, you know. And a lot of times the older guys kind of ease into the season.
Do you think that it's warranted some people saying, you know, Washington, the Suns, they shouldn't have been included in the trip down to Orlando? Or do you think now what we've seen with the Nets and different players opting out and not deciding to go, that Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards actually have a chance to get within 4 games and force that play-in tournament for that 8th seed?
Yeah. I think the league understood that there would be parameters that some of the key players might not want to be there. And, and safeguarding those parameters now also gives some interest in, you know, teams that really were mathematically close to being out.
Kenny Jet Smith, co-star of Turner Sports, Inside the NBA, joining Peter Burns and Katie George here on the Dan Levitard Show. Kenny, how much is the snitch hotline going to be used? I mean, you've seen this happen, right? Like the NBA has said, we're putting out a phone number. If you see anyone that's not paying attention or not doing the right things, how many times is that number going to be used? Over and under 10?
I would say over, just because what is the right thing to do? Like, there's so much information that comes out on a daily basis that is contrary to what it was the day before. So what is the right method? So I think the questions are going to be like, well, I just saw this. Is this okay? You know, I don't even know. What is the protocol to not catch COVID-19? What is it? There isn't none. Like, so I don't know who's right.
The reason why I ask that question is I want to know, like, do you feel like NBA in 2020 and all of this has brought this league closer together? Or do you feel like it's more fractured than it was because the teams don't see each other and they haven't been playing? Do you think that the players handling this in 2020 would have been the same in the mid-90s? Or was there more camaraderie or more vitriol? How do you see the difference between the two?
I think, you know, this is a different time. I think these guys they do have closer relationships, honestly, with each other on different teams because of free agency and social media that we particularly didn't have with other players on other teams. So I think that they're socially able to, like, everyone is able to give their viewpoint socially. They're able to see themselves economically. So I think that this era probably is best equipped for what's going on.
Shaq, your counterpart, has said that he feels like whoever wins the championship this year, there will be an asterisk next to their name. Whereas Doc Rivers says, if anything, it should be a gold star. Giannis, Mike Boonholzer also agreed that they thought this would be the toughest championship to win because of all that's gone on and all the factors. How do you view this championship?
Anytime I put 350 of the best anything and have a contest and how long I have it and someone wins it, I don't say it's an asterisk. You know, these are 350 best players in the world. They're all going to be in Orlando for a month and a half, and we're going to have a champion. To me, that's whatever it is, it's the same or the same difficulty.
Last question for Kenny DeJetsmith here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Settle the poll debate that we've had here on the show today. Who's going to have a bigger legacy in 20 years, Kenny? Are you ready for this? There's four options.
Okay.
In 20 years from now, are we going to be talking more about Sylvester Stallone and what he meant to movies, Zion Williamson, the movie Forrest Gump, or Kevin Hart the comedian? In 20 years from now, who's going to have the bigger legacy?
That's a wide range of people.
It is. It's all of their birthdays today. That's why they're linked.
Okay. I was trying to figure out, when did that come about? I would say Kevin Hart has the bigger...
Wow.
Thank
you. Wow. I wasn't even going to include him. Our boy Roy Bellamy said, no, you got to include Kevin Hart. Over Stallone in his movies, over Zion in his career, and over the movie Forrest Gump, we'll be talking Kevin Hart more in two decades.
Because he is hitting us in so many different areas. He's writing books. He's doing stand up. He's doing decent movies. But he's doing it. He's hitting us in so many different ways that he's going to still be relevant, I think, 20 years from now, and his career will still be at a pinnacle. It won't be, like, it could not be fading, where those guys, their career could be as faded in 20 years.
I love it. We'll be talking about you guys and the work you do on Inside the NBA for 20 years, and I guarantee you kids that are going to be on that Jet Academy that you have launched at jetacademycamp.com. We'll be talking about their experience with you and Kimball Walker and Trey Young and Sue Bird and Breonna Stewart for 20 years as well. Hey,
don't give your kids something to do for an hour and a half other than be behind the cutest computer and not be active.
I hear you, man. You can go out there, jetacademycamp.com. Kenny the Jet Smith joining us here from Inside the NBA right there on the Shell Pinsar Performance Line. Dan Le Batard Show, Peter Burns, Katie George rolling with you this week. The show is always presented by Progressive Insurance. And of course, if you miss any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus the Miami Only Hour and the best of podcasts on demand of the ESPN app. Subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends podcast network, including South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week where you get your podcast. Was surprised that Kenny the Jet Smith, who just joined us, was talking about, that Kevin Hart was going to be the bigger legacy out of the movie Forrest Gump, Zion, and Stallone here in 20 years. But talking about some guys who are just not going to feel comfortable getting ready for the season. Now, the difference is, in the NBA, Katie, as you know, you cover the Bucks closely. They're paid handsomely. They're paid pretty well. They are professional athletes. You also know this well. You are a collegiate athlete. And so I saw a tweet in the last commercial break that right before we went to break here on the Levitard Show that kind of struck me and hit me pretty hard is that it came out a couple of minutes ago that an Ivy League school has decided they are changing things. Harvard announces all course instruction will be taught online for the 2020-2021 academic year. Now, the undergraduate tuition, $50,000 a year, remains the same, but it brings me up to what Paul Feinbaum, our college football guy over the SEC Network and ESPN, he had this to say on Get Up this week about what stuff like this means for college football in the fall. Katie, you live there in Louisville, Kentucky, home of the Louisville Cardinals. You know the athletic director, Scott Satterfield. We're going to join us later on this week. When you hear this, when you see news like Harvard, and you live in a college town, what do you make of the idea of college football being played in the fall?
I have a pessimistic outlook. I think that if you are sitting there saying, oh, it's just the Ivy League, it's not an FBS school, it's not a member of the Power Five, you know, it's not coming our way, our school, my team, they're safe. I don't think that's realistic. I've got a cousin that goes to Georgia, a couple cousins who go to Auburn. My cousin who goes to Georgia, she's going to be a sophomore this coming fall. Her parents just received an email from the school with a survey. Would you feel comfortable sending your kids back to campus this year, or would you prefer that they stay at home and continue courses online? That's a member of the SEC. Your love, your passion right there. So this is something every president, all administrators, every AD is having to consider right now. And the problem, Peter, is it's July. I mean, yes, they've got time in terms of the full student body coming back to make the decisions, but you've got student athletes already on campus. You've got some teams like Oklahoma who just resumed this week coming back to school and campuses to start their voluntary workouts. Like, the fact that we don't have answers now is pretty scary, in my opinion. And you're going to see more schools make the decision that we just saw Harvard make, and the fact that they're not going to bring their students back onto campus.
She is Katie George. I am Peter Burns here on the Dan Levitard Show. It's interesting, Katie, to build upon that. Southern Cal, of course, last week announced that they will just be going to primarily online courses. Now, why that's very interesting, of course, Southern Cal, they are one of the Power Five schools, and they open up against Alabama. That is the opener for the Trojans versus Tide. So the question is, at that point, hey, listen, if you don't have kids on campus, are you going to expect college football athletes to play? Are you going to say that they can do it? There is no rule that says, hey, listen, kids have to be on campus, right? I mean, Joe Burrow just won an Heisman for LSU, one of the arguably the greatest season in college football history. I'm not sure if he ever set foot on campus in Baton Rouge. He took all online classes. No lie. I mean, took all online campus, never went to the quad, never went to the Middleton Library, never went to these places. Maybe passing by, but he did not go to classes. So there's no hard and fast rule, but no. It's a matter of what administrators are going to feel comfortable about. And right now, with these numbers shooting up and people just saying and making this such a political thing, it's amazing to me that the South and the Southeastern Conference is in the ACC and all that little area of the world is really some of the last people to actually use common sense when it comes to social distancing and using the mask, because it just shocked me about how big football is in that footprint, Katie, and yet we see these dismissive attitudes across the Southeast part of the world.
Do you remember in high school when you're playing high school sports, like if school was canceled or you didn't have school that day for a holiday or something, you weren't allowed to actually partake in practice or a game that evening?
Those days sucked, yes.
Yeah, they were the worst. And sometimes we had school canceled because of a snow day, and then they'd say, oh, well, you're not allowed to practice. And, you know, you might have a game, and so you'd have to reschedule. And so those days were not fun. The college realm doesn't have a rule like that, to your point. And so I've been saying for weeks on our show, on different shows, what happens when you get thousands of students back on campus in the fall? What happens to college athletics then? Right now, they're trying to handle it to the best of their ability. They're isolating and quarantining kids who test positive or have come in contact with somebody who tests positive. But what happens at Michigan State, who has 40,000 students on their campus in East Lansing? Like, you can't control it when it gets to that magnitude. So my question to you, Peter, is, and there will be people who say, well, it's not fair if the students can't go back, regular normal students who aren't student athletes, can't go back to campus and take their classes, but student athletes can. I wonder if you allow the student athletes to stay on campus, compete in their sport, because then you're actually at a better chance of keeping people safe, because you're not dealing with 30,000 students going out to a bar at night or having a frat party or, you know, meeting up and not being safe about social distancing. And so
you're saying that this is the best case scenario, that if you do want to see fall sports to happen, that all the classes do go online, and that as far as the academics, in the academic part will be online. Because I will tell you this, I have talked to several Power Five coaches, I've talked to several athletic directors over the last 2 weeks that have said they are frustrated as hell that they're doing all the testing, they're doing all the things they can do to be social distancing, they can do all of the mask, everything, and as soon as they get in their car and they drive a mile from campus, you know what it is? All of a sudden they see packed restaurants. They see everybody, they see some of their players going into places where they were, quote, not to be quarantined at, and they're having an issue wrapping their head around, why the hell are we doing all of this if as soon as they get out of our reach, they're gone. They don't even listen to us anymore.
That is the daunting challenges that are ahead for college athletics, because unlike the MLB, unlike the NBA, unlike the NFL or any professional league, they don't have as much weighing in on it as student athletes, in the fact that they're not getting paid, they're not in these controlled situations. What happens after you leave Clemson's football facility? You can't control what your players do. You can advise them and you can talk their ear off and tell them, please be safe. Please be safe. Please don't go here. You know, make sure you stay in your dorms. Make sure you're sanitizing. But you actually have no control of what happens once they leave your facility or your stadium or your gym or whatnot. And so I think for college athletics, the road ahead for them is so much more challenging than what the professional leagues are facing right now.
There is a herd mentality, and not herd immunity, because you heard that a lot during coronavirus, but the herd mentality that comes to these decisions being made. I'll tell you exactly what that is coming up next, and actually maybe a vote here very soon on the Ivy League teams moving their conference games and moving their whole season into spring. That coming up next here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Welcome back to the Dan Le Batard Show. Peter Burns, Katie George. I am seeing this cross my timeline from NC5. That's coming out of Nashville, the news station, and seen it a couple times while we're playing. The Devil Went Down to Georgia. That country music Hall of Famer Charlie Daniels has passed away at the age of 83. Arguably one of the great, like, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, Katie. Like, it's storytelling. It's just incredible, like, incredible music. It's very well done. And, you know, we'll make sure we're getting more, a little bit more details about that coming up a little bit on the show. Of course, this is the Dan Le Batard Show. Peter Burns, Katie George, and all guests are going to be up here. That Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And now for a little Sports Center update. Katie George, what do we have?
Well, the Milwaukee Bucks and Sacramento Kings shut down their practice facilities after receiving the results of a recent round of testing for the coronavirus. Kevin Harvick won the Brickyard 400. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All throughout the day is where I'll be on Twitter as soon as this show is over, at Peter Burns ESPN, at Katie_George05, because it appears that there is an impending choice by a conference that plays in the FCS, that's Football Championship Subdivision, that could have an impact that stretches across college football. That was the article from Bruce Feldman and Nicole Auerbach on The Athletic. And what it was that the fact that the Ivy League, Katie, is appearing that they may vote and have a spring football season. Now, this is something that has been talked about. This is not a brand new idea. It's been talked about through all Power Five conferences. I guarantee you. I mean, I talked to Commissioner Greg Sankey of the SEC. He said they had as many as 20 different
contingency plans
at this point. And I said, when the hell did you decide? And he goes, we're going to decide kind of at the last moment, right? Well, I think that last moment, at least for the SEC, when I talked to athletic directors at Georgia and at LSU and at Florida, they believe the last moment to decide is probably going to be that last week in July, the first week in August, okay? Kids are going to be back on campus around July 13th, not just for the voluntary workouts, but doing team meetings and a little bit less of the social distancing stuff that the volunteer workouts are, or the voluntary workouts are. And so that's when they'll know, hey, how many kids test positive? How many kids are dealing with this? How serious is it? And then they'll decide, okay, because that'll be a month out from the games. The problem is now is that with the Ivy League, if they indeed decide to vote into spring, you kick in the herd mentality switch. We see it all the time. We see it all the time on Twitter on whether or not someone has a take and everybody wants to pile in. But this is not just one conference doing it. This is the Ivy League, okay? The Ivy League saying potentially that, hey, we're going to punt on this. We're going to punt. If we're going to have football, let's look at this 6 months down the road. And here's where the herd mentality kicks in. If Ivy League does it, you know that every single one of these Power Five conferences, these commissioners, Katie, are on the phone with each other and saying, well, if the Ivy League's doing it, it's about time that we kick in our processes to look into making that happen as well, too. I mean, that just blows my mind that we could be potentially without college football this fall.
I really thought you were going to say, if the Ivy League's doing it, clearly they're the smartest people in the room, so we should all be doing it. But you just didn't come through for me, Peter Burns.
Why not? Why? Like, okay, so at some point, Yale would be like, I mean, I know you got into Yale, and I know, you know, Harvard, but are you really that smart? I mean, listen, yes, there are the one percenters that probably are bad apples when you look at these places, right? They're a little bit kind of crazy. But at some point, these legitimately are the smartest people in the room, okay?
They can be. And the fact that they're considering that, to your point, there's two options on the table. They're cutting it to a 7-game conference-only schedule. Mm-hmm. They've discussed moving the current schedule back to late September, early October start, or they'd move the 7-game conference schedule into the spring where they'd start in April, end in May. And so what we're hearing is that they're going to vote on this spring decision, which, just like Harvard deciding that they're not going to have students on campus in the fall and they're going to go to a full year of online courses, you could see, just even though it's the Ivy League when it comes mm-hmm. to sports, you could see FBS Power 5 conferences take a hard look at this and say, do we do this too? And if that's the case, Peter, we're having a completely different conversation here in a few weeks, even a few months, because the ramifications of having college football move to the spring is tremendous. And I'm talking to the one percenters in the game, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Travis Etienne.
They gone.
They're faced with a really, really hard decision that I don't feel like any 20, 21-year-old needs to make. And that's the sad fact of, does Trevor Lawrence stick around when he's got the film and the tape that he needs to be the number one draft pick in the next upcoming draft? Does he really need to stay and play Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech on Saturdays? No, he doesn't, and I don't blame him. And that's going to be a sad case if we see more schools look to the way of moving their seasons to the spring.
But what's interesting is, and take it even one, and you nailed that, Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show with Peter Burns, and take it one step further, right? If we're saying that the Ivy League is saying, hey, we're pretty smart, but we're going to move this into spring, it's the right thing to do, their football league is not determined on how much money they make. Now,
sure.
You start talking about Florida State, you talk about LSU, you talk about Southern Cal, how much of the money that comes in on these Power 5 universities in football, how it funds all of the different sports. And so the question is, at that point, then you lead in going, well, yeah, we should kick it into spring, but we really need football to be played right now.
Right now.
And ultimately, what I think that will happen is that I think that at this point, I don't think it's going to be canceled fully for Power 5, at least into the spring. I think there will be, within the next 3 weeks, at least some type of suspension saying that, hey, for the first month, we're moving it back. That we're going to look at a September 26th or an October 5th, the first week in October type start of the season, and they're going to try to push this back until they could say, you know what, y'all haven't done enough to where we feel comfortable to putting these kids back on the field. And that's going to change everything, especially if it bleeds over into the spring. She is Katie George. I am Peter Burns. This is the Dan Le Batard Show here on ESPN Radio. Welcome back, Dan Le Batard Show. Peter Burns, Katie George. Follow us on Twitter, Katie_George05. Myself, at Peter Burns, ESPN. I feel like we're in a better mood now, though, Katie, than we were earlier in the show. Remember, we were upset at each other when the big poll question came out about. There was a lot of vitriol here, especially in the commercial break, where I thought Anthony was going to go over to Roy's house, and I thought there were going to be words about who should be on our poll. Anthony, can you give us an update real quick on our poll results here on the Dan Le Batard Show? Just give me a quick update. As we said, there were four birthdays today that were extremely important here on July the 6th. And so I'm trying to figure out what are the poll results and where are we at here? Did I ask the wrong person? Should I not have asked Anthony on this? Should I,
yeah,
Chris, was this your deal?
Not.
Is this Billy? Is this your stick? Whose stick is the poll
stick.
Answering the poll
this
question?
Is my
it's, stick. It's Billy's. It's Billy's. Okay. But as you were pro-filibustering, I had brought up all of the poll results, so I can do that for you now that you perfectly segued into it. So
thank
the
you.
Poll, who will have the bigger legacy in 20 years? Right now, we are still sitting with Zion Williamson at 32%, Sly Stallone at 30%, Forrest Gump 26%, and Kevin Hart at 12%.
Okay. Although Kenny DeJet-Smith, who was on earlier today, said it was going to be Kevin Hart that was going to be number one. I feel like this is a fake poll. I feel like this is a fake news poll that Zion, even though he's lost the 20 pounds, put on all the muscle, looks absolutely ripped, KG. I just don't know if that's going to be the biggest legacy in 20 years out of all those guys.
What, he'll be 40? He turned 20 today? Is
yeah.
that the deal? So he'll be 40 years old and possibly, probably out of the league by then. I don't know. I just think when people look at this poll, you didn't preface it or put in parentheses why this is the group. Like, you didn't say, hey, in this poll, who will have the bigger legacy in 20 years? It's all their birthday today. So, like, Kenny Smith, when he came on, was like, I don't understand why Stallone and Kevin Hart.
Yeah, but like when you're reading the tweet, like, you've got time. Like, Kenny Smith was like trying to figure it out on the absolute fly why we were asking all these four random names. But when you see the tweet in its own, you're going to think, all right, which one of these four have a bigger legacy in 20 years?
No, when I look at this tweet, I'd be sitting here for 30 minutes saying, what do the four of these men have in common? Why are they in a tweet? Why are we talking about their legacies?
That summarizes the show for us today.
She
is Katie George. I'm Peter Burns. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. The Dan Le Batard Show is also brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Again, I just want to go back into to this point. All right, overall, were you still upset with Bryson DeChambeau, or have you calmed down from the way that we started the show almost a mere 3 hours ago, Katie?
I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way for some reason. Like, we had Tom Van Haren on, who I thought put it eloquently, that when the actual altercation, maybe altercation is too strong of a word, when the actual conversation took place, Tom Van Haren was sitting there watching on the course, it wasn't an angry conversation. Mm-hmm. They actually had some words together, the cameraman and Bryson DeChambeau, and then they moved on. My problem is with the comments made afterwards when he wrapped up and concluded his round three on Saturday with the fact that, hey, I just think cameramen shouldn't be documenting my vulnerable moments when I have a terrible chunker of a shot. Like, dude, you're making millions of dollars to golf on television. That is why you're there.
I will say this, though. What
so
I
no,
do
now
like
I'm not. Now I'm more mad. You
I know
we're going to do this. You brought this back up, and now I'm going to go into my afternoon upset about this again.
Fell for it, boys. Knew I could get it. I knew I could get it. I knew, like, over the last hour, we've been way too nice to each other here on this show, filling in for Le Batard, and I knew I was going to get it. What I do like about Bryson, though, is Bryson is different. And you go back and look at all the greatness. Steve Jobs, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan used to fake people being upset.
Again.
Okay?
How?
And put them on the list. Kanye's a weird guy, but he's a genius as well, too. Tiger was weird. Floyd Mayweather, weird as well, too. Eclectic, right? But you know what all of those were? They were great. You have to, if you're going to be the absolute best, you have to be great. And that greatness is a little bit on the word of weird.
Bryson DeChambeau to Michael Jordan. I just want that to be known as we end this show and we carry on ESPN Radio. He's Peter Burns. I'm sorry. And I am Katie George. We'll see you tomorrow.
Land the plane, Katie. Land it.